Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, welcome again, friends, to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. And if you've ever been blessed by something in your life and you had no doubt that God had answered your prayer, well, you know how important that blessing was in your life, no matter how big or small the answer to your prayer actually was. God loves to bless others through His people. So it's incredibly important that we learn to hear God's voice and to be obedient when we are called upon. Today's guest here on Family Talk will share some touching stories with our own Dr. James Dobson about this very important topic. His name is Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. Did you know that Jesus spoke about money more than He did about heaven and hell combined? In fact, 11 of the 39 parables in the New Testament deal with money. Now, Dr. Bruce Wilkinson will share more about this and his book called The God Pocket and how we as believers can ask God to help others here on earth. Dr. Bruce Wilkinson has a doctorate of divinity from Western Conservative Baptist Seminary. He's best known for his extremely successful book, The Prayer of Jabez. Bruce and his wife, Darlene, have three grown children and many grandchildren. Now let's join Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Bruce Wilkinson on today's classic edition of Family Talk.
Bruce, thanks so much for being with us again. And we talked last time about money, about what the Bible says about money, and even more specifically, what Jesus said about money when He was on this earth. Now, let's go from the theological understanding, and I hope people got what you were saying, because there's just an awful lot there to think about. And then we will make a CD available to anybody who wants to ask for it. But to get practical with that, we come to your book, The God Pocket. But yeah, I want you to explain what The God Pocket is.
All right. Let me start with a question, Jim. Let's say that I lost my job and I maxed out all my credit cards and I have four kids home and my wife and I don't have enough money for food, really. And I'm begging God, God, if you're up there, you got to give me money. And God sits on His throne and He listens to all of our millions of requests and He hears this young man praying for this. And God says, the answer is yes, give him the money. All right, now peel away the veil between heaven and earth. How is God going to get the money to the young man? God could speak money into existence in heaven and let the dollar bills float down from heaven, but He doesn't. He could send an angel down with the money, but not one time in the Bible does He, but He could. If you study this biblically, how does God get money to a person who needs it? Answer.
It comes from other godly people.
That's right. Which means God must have a human partner for Him to answer the person's prayer. That's a staggering thought. So the verse we talked about in the last program is mind-boggling. It's Proverbs 19:17. It says exactly what I'm saying. He that has compassion on the poor, meaning you give to the poor, comma, lends to the Lord. Let me explain that. I was in Africa with my son Dave, and I'd spoken all week to 20,000 leaders at the Dome in Johannesburg, 10,000 business professionals and 10,000 religious leaders. At the end of the week, Dave and I hurried back to the hotel to have a bowl of ice cream. It was 10 o'clock at night, and the place closed at 10. And we got there right before 10, sat down on a little table, and I said to the waitress, I said, ma'am, my son and I ran over here from the Dome. Can we get two bowls of ice cream? She says, oh, I'm so sorry. The kitchen's closed, but we have some old gray decaf coffee. I said, oh, man, we really did hurry over here. Could you possibly reconsider? And she saw me and my son, and she says, well, okay. So she turns, Jim, to go back to the kitchen. And God, I don't know how God does this, Jim, but God said to me very clearly, give her a big tip. Now, I already do give people a big tip. And I'm sitting there thinking, how much? And I had been at the bank at the beginning of the week to get South African money. And my son's opposite me, and he leans over. He said, "Dad, we're supposed to give that lady a really big tip." I almost fell off the chair. I said, "Dave, what are you talking about?" He said, "No. And Dad, you're supposed to give her the tip." He's like a son, right?
Yeah. Had you shared that with
him? No. I was just kind of sitting there thinking. So I said to Dave, "Do you know how much?" He said, "No." So I'm exhausted from the week and I'm befuddled. And I have my cash in my front left pocket. I take out the South African rand and I'm just wondering, do I give her 20 rand or I give her 10? Or it's only two bowls of ice cream. And I give up. And I took this wad. It was a big wad of South African rand. It was a lot of money. I folded it in half. And she came over to me and I said to her, "Ma'am, you're so kind to get Dave and me some ice cream. We want to give you an extra tip." And I quickly stuck it in her apron pocket. I didn't want my son to see how much I was giving her. And I didn't want her to see how much I was giving. And I felt very uncomfortable. Well, Dave and I are eating our ice cream. Now, Jim, this really explains what I mean with this. She comes back a few minutes later crying. And she stands right next to the table. And she says, "You know Jesus." And I looked at her, and there was no Bible on the table. I didn't wear a collar or anything. And I said, why would you say that? Because he's the only one who knows. He's the only one who knows what? I'm by myself. I have a little baby. And the tips have been terrible. And I haven't paid my rent. And my landlord told me this morning that if I don't have the entire amount for my rent for the 2 months I'm behind, he's taking everything I own out of the one room I rent, throwing it on the dirt, and throwing me and my baby out. And she said, on the way, I took three buses to get here. And I said to God, "If you love me and if you love my baby, then give me the money for the rent tonight." And she takes out this wad and she's crying. She said, "Only Jesus knew. That's exactly how much I owed him." Now, see, she didn't thank me for the money. Why not? It wasn't my money.
She thanked Jesus for it.
Because she knew who gave it.
Now, that's a very important point in your book, that when you give what you don't owe, because it wouldn't be a gift if you owed it, and you recognize a need in someone or the Lord gives you that little nudge, you're opening their heart not to you, but to the Lord.
That's right. And Jim, so few people today understand what you and I have just said, that God is actively hunting for people that he can partner with to deliver a financial. And, you know, to her, if I said to you, "What was this tonight?" You know what she'd say. "That was a miracle for me." Well, how come it was a miracle? Because she knew the chances of a white guy giving her $500+ for a bowl of ice cream. And she knew that it was her last moment because the whole restaurant was closing. And she was going to have to get on, go those three buses, go back and get there probably at home 11:30 at midnight and be kicked out. Now, Jim, when you begin to understand how heaven and earth cooperate, do you realize how many amazing experiences you can have? Because there's so few people who will partner with God. That's what the God Pocket book is all about. It teaches you how does it actually work.
Bruce, I believe everything you just said because I grew up with it. And my father was such a godly man. And I watched him follow that principle. And my dad was an evangelist. And in those days, you know, he drove an old car maybe 1,000 miles to hold a revival meeting someplace. And and there wasn't a lot of money given, and it was all free will. And on the last night, my dad would come down to the end of that 10-day service. A lot of people had found the Lord. He had a wonderful gift of leading people to the Lord. And he would notice that the pastor's kids didn't have coats for winter. And he would take what they gave him and he would give it to the pastor and also raise a little love offering for him. Then he would drive home. And my mother would meet him in the living room, and I can see it. I've got it videotaped in my mind. And she would come and greet him, and she would throw her arms around him and welcome him home, and so would I. I was an only child, and I was watching all this. And eventually the subject would come up, how much did they pay you? And my dad would grin. And she would say, I know, you gave it all away, didn't you? And he would say, this pastor was in such need, you know, and their kids didn't have good shoes, and I couldn't take the money, and I gave it. But the Lord will take care of us. I watched that. I saw it. And inevitably, we ran out of money, too. And I remember a time in particular where this very thing had happened. Mm-hmm. And the next morning, my folks were talking about our financial needs. And we went into my little bedroom and closed the door. I don't know why. And my dad would pray. And he would say, Lord, you told us that if we would be generous with your people in our good times, that you would help us when we had a need. And we have a need now, and we look to you to help us meet it. And money came.
Yes.
And on one occasion, about 2 days later, $1,200 came in an envelope. And that was a lot. That was a half a year's salary. And it would come. And so my dad followed that principle, the principle you're talking about, all the way through. And then he had a heart attack, and as it turned out, he wasn't going to live very long. And he and my mother were in the bedroom. She was getting dressed. They were going someplace, and he was already dressed, and he was lying on the bed. And I wasn't there. My mother told me about this. And she looked over at him, and he was crying. And she said, why are you crying? And he said, well, it's the strangest thing. I was lying here on the bed. I wasn't praying or anything. The Lord spoke to me. And she said, well, what did he say? And he said, he told me something about you. Said, then you are going to tell me. And he said, well, it was the strangest thing. I was just lying here, and the Lord said he was going to take care of you.
Oh, see.
And I worried about my parents when one of them died or when my dad couldn't work. Because they didn't accumulate anything. My dad gave most of it away. Mm-hmm. And he said, Lord's going to take care of you. He died 3 days later. Mm-hmm. And I was, being the only child, the only son, I had responsibility for the finances. And I got into their records and didn't have anything. And they owned a house that wasn't paid for. But it was worth $45,000, and that's all the money that my mother had. And in a few years, she had Parkinson's, and she required $50,000 a year in 24-hour-a-day care. This was a long time ago. And where was that going to come from? Mm. And my grandfather had given some stock in Coca-Cola to my dad. And it had just burgeoned. It had really grown enormously. And I never had to give $1 to my mother. Every bill.
Isn't that just like God, Jim?
Oh, every bill was paid. And I inherited money from them. It is amazing how God answered that prayer because he's faithful.
He is so faithful. And that's the part that you saw lived out in front of you.
I did. And when you give to others, your kids see it.
Yes,
and your
do.
Brothers and sisters and your neighbors and your church friends see it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't go to waste. It not only helps the person you give it to, but it also blesses them and says, go thou and do likewise.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Now, Bruce, something happened last night that is relevant to what we're talking about today. And I wasn't sure what direction we were going, but you came in to my office today in preparation for this broadcast. and you told me a story of something that just happened. Share it with our listeners.
Oh, my. Well, last night I was
out. This is the truth now, I promise.
Last night I was at a banquet just outside of San Jose in California in a town called Dublin. And they had 500 people come of all different denominations, all to celebrate a pro-life center. And this pro-life center had sonogram machines, ultrasound machines. And they were desperate for some funds. And God dramatically moved. There were 500 people. And that last night, they gave $445,000.
Unbelievable.
And when people were leaving and I was signing books for them, a lady comes up out of the blue. And I had told the people, because I knew of their love and respect for you, I said, because at the banquet topic, I said, you know, I'm going to enjoy seeing Dr. Dobson tomorrow for lunch. And I said, we've been friends a long time. And people applauded because they love what you've done. And this lady comes up and says, she slides this piece of paper across the table, Jim. This never happened to me. She says, would you give this to Dr. Dobson tomorrow? Well, I thought it was going to be a note. And I looked at it, and it wasn't a note. It was a check. And I said, this is a check. Yes. Is this for Dr. Dobson? Yes, it's for the ministry, because I really believe in what he's doing. You would. Well, do you want to write a note for this? No, I think he knows who I am, and I just want to bless what he does. And she smiled, and she left. And so here I am. I come down for lunch for you, and I've never, ever delivered a big check like that to somebody. And I said, Jim, do you think this will cover lunch today?
And it was $1,000.
Yes, it was.
Unbelievable.
You know, as you're listening, Jim and I just cut a number of programs together, and we could talk for hours yet because that's our friendship. But as you're listening and being ministered to, I mean, who couldn't have been ministered to by his story? He just shared about his dad and his mom and the giving. And now he stands on his parents' shoulders, and his two children are on their, him and Shirley's shoulders. And, you know, whether you've ever thought about this, you got one of your feet on his shoulders, don't you? Because he's been building, and Shirley's been building into your life and ministering to you. And his heart is to reach so many more people. So why don't you do what the woman did? Why don't you spontaneously today just take one of those checks out or call up or something and send a note in? The lady should have sent a note and said, Jim, thanks so much. Just that little note means so much to people like Jim and I, who are in ministry in the front lines all the time. But, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was, I don't know, 1,000 ladies like that who just today sent in? Whoa. Why not? $1,000. Write a note. Jim, I can't thank you enough, but I want more people to know. Here's a gift.
Bruce, do you realize that the majority of the people listening to us will think that is a setup, that all of this entire conversation has been driving in that direction? Hey, tell them that's not true.
That's not true, and I didn't even give you eye contact, did you? I looked away because I didn't want you waving at me. Friends, this is my idea. Why do I feel this way? Because these ministries that you are listening to, it's just like the banquet last night, you know, that one of us gets up and speaks and ministers. You've been getting up and speaking and ministering on the radio for years and years and years and years and years. And people, if they only knew how much it costs just to buy a half an hour on a radio station, they would say, oh, my goodness. So my encouragement to you is from another leader. I didn't ask Jim because I didn't want him to have the possibility of saying, don't do that. I just went ahead and did it and hope they don't edit it out.
Bruce, you have changed your specific daily responsibility. You walked through the Bible to be the largest seminar teaching ministry in the world. Mm-hmm. And now you're doing something else that I find really interesting, and it's not unrelated to what you're talking about right here. Mm-hmm. What is that passion?
You know, Jim, this is something that's been your passion. And it's surprising to Darlene and me a lot that God redirected our whole life. I mean, we had a full life like you do, and then God directed us to the original God pocket, which is the womb of a woman that God gives birth to a miracle in. And as you've been fighting this battle for all these years, trying to love on the women who are unexpectedly pregnant, you know, Planned Parenthood's budget's over $1 billion. And you know what? Believe it or not, that individuals and foundations give as much to Planned Parenthood as the government does.
That's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. And so we're out there helping these crisis pregnancy centers. I will have spoken at 87 different crisis pregnancy center banquets. And God's just blessing. I think, honestly, Jim, it's like, you know, the bowl in heaven when the prayers of the saints get so – it overflows and God acts. I think something happened in heaven because people are rising up in ways I've never seen. They're giving huge amounts of money for publicity and advertising and being open on the weekend and buy another sonogram machine.
And you've got a little booklet that you carry in your pocket. You got it open now that lists what has happened in recent days.
We were in Bowie, Maryland. The Lord moved for the people, and they gave $622,000 at the banquet. Then to Dallas, Texas.
That's unheard of.
It is unheard of. It is a movement of God, Jim. You were talking earlier when we had lunch about the days when God's Spirit just opened doors.
Yeah.
And you can't explain. You stand there with your mouth open.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here. God, I think, said in heaven, it's enough of my babies. It's enough. No more. And next year, I honestly believe that all of the work that you and all of these centers have been doing, I think it's going to split open. Honestly, I do. Next year. This is an era that calls for greatness from each of us to rise up and do things that we would have never imagined ourselves doing because this era, this time we're living, demands it from us.
Bruce, I have loved this time talking to you. It's been so inspirational and so enlightening. And it always is when you come. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for the God pocket and the concept of giving. And I believe a lot of people are going to be touched.
Thank you, Jim, and bless you.
Would you come back?
I will come back.
Again and again and again.
Keep standing for the truth, my friend.
We love you.
You too.
Well, that was the conclusion of Dr. James Dobson's classic conversation with Dr. Bruce Wilkinson here on Family Talk. If you'd like to learn more about Bruce Wilkinson or his book called The God Pocket, be sure to visit our website at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. You know, God certainly loves children, doesn't he? As we read in Matthew chapter 18, verse 14, Jesus prays, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." As Dr. Wilkinson and Dr. Dobson were just discussing, we can all do our part to help the preborn. Perhaps it's by encouraging a mom-to-be or supporting a pregnancy resource center near you. By the way, if you'd like to find a resource center in your area, simply click the link at the bottom of today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Just sign up with your email address and you'll be connected to many resources and tools that will help you find and support a pregnancy resource center near you. Now, I'd like to take a moment here at the close of our broadcast to remind you that the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute is a listener-supported ministry. And right now, I'm excited to share with you that during the month of May, we have been blessed by some special friends with a matching grant of $300,000. For every dollar we receive this month, it will automatically be matched up to our $300,000 goal. Every dollar you donate will help us as we fight to preserve the sanctity of life and uphold the values of traditional marriage in the culture, God-ordained gender identity, and also a biblical worldview that parents can grab onto and teach their children. To make a donation online, simply go to drjamesdobson.org. You can give a gift securely there on our homepage or over the phone when you call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh, and on behalf of all of us here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and faithful financial support. Have a blessed day, and be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hey everyone, Roger Marsh here. When you think about your family and where they will be when you're no longer living, are you worried? Are you confident? Are you hopeful? What kind of legacy are you leaving for your children and their children? Here at Family Talk, we're committed to helping you understand the legacy that you're leaving for your family. Join us today at drjamesdobson.org for helpful insights, tips, and advice from Dr. James Dobson himself. And remember, your legacy matters.